Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis. Second Pasuk, Perek Lamed Aleph. Okay, Eve is basically in this Perek complaining that he got a bad deal, that he got a raw deal. Umechelek Eloka Mimal. These words are words of complaint. What means what? What kind of portion is this that has been granted to me from Eloka Mimal? You have to add a word into the pasuk, the word from. What kind of portion have I received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And you have to now repeat the words again. Umeh nachalas. Okay, it's like we repeat the word second time. What is this inheritance that I have received, that Shakai Mimiroimim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon me from on high? Okay, let's look at the Metzulas for a more precise translation of this Pasuk. Pasuk Beis, Umechele Koivel Misroim. So Meh here is alluding to a complaint. He is bitterly complaining, Loimar, to say, Ru'uno, look, he's telling his friends, look, Mahu HaChelek HaNitali Min Eloka Mimal. Look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted me. Look at the portion of life that I have received from on high. L'tashlum Gumul Masai, that I have been granted for my deeds. In other words, it's not fair. I am a tzaddik, and I deserve a lot better than what I have received. Next words, V'nachlas Shakai, V'nachlas Shakai Mimiraimim, Kofel Hadover B'mila Shainos, repetition, poetic repetition of the same idea as we've had so many times. Okay, Rashi is exactly the same thing. Umechilik Shagamalni Kach, look at the portion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has paid me, has bestowed upon me for my good deeds. In other words, Hashem was Meshalem Ra, Tachas Tov. That is his complaint. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted him hog bed for a life of good. Pasuk Gimel, Haloi Eid Le'avol, V'necher L'fol Le'oven. It's proper, aid is destruction. We know we have this many times. Aid literally means a mist. The aid, Yala Minaretz.
Aid is the holiday of the good.
Right, so why is the word aid? But aid always in Tanakh always means destruction, because it's a borrowed term. Something that's a cloud, a dark, thick cloud, is an omen of evil, of harm. So even though literally the aid means a cloud, but since it's used figuratively as a bad sign or something harmful, we always use it in Tanakh as a reference for Churban, destruction. Now here we have a new word we've never had before, V'necher. Necher here is being used as a synonym for aid. It's another word which means destruction. Now literally Necher means a stranger, Nechar, a foreigner, person that's not a resident. Here it means the same thing. What has happened to me is strange, it's foreign, it's not natural that I should suffer in such a horrible way. So he writes, now these two things, these two concepts, aid and necher, is fitting for an avol and a pole oven. Avol means an evil, corrupt person, and pole oven means a person that does evil. So he says, it's not for halo aid, is it not correct that there should be an aid, a churban le'avol? Is it not true? You have to hear the word v'lo, halo, a second time. Halo, is it not fair, correct, that there should be necher lefale oven? But I'm not an avol. I'm not from the category of people that are poorly oven. So why then do I suffer? Why then has this come upon me? Look at the Mesudas Pasuk Gimel. Halo yed la'avol, halo le'ish avol, roi yed. For an ish avol, it's roi yed. V'necher. V'necher means ratzalaymar. Aids. What is a necher? Ratzalaymar. Aid zar v'nachri. The word necha means a stranger, a form of a churban that's strange and foreign. Ashaloni yasam yolam, that never came into the world, never happened before. Roy was fitting lapali oven, people that are evildoers. V'loy al ish kamoni, but it's not fit for a person, an upright person like me. I don't deserve this terrible thing. Look at Rashi. Rashi loy aid laavol. Loy roy. For the avol, it's fitting for there to be churban. V'loyli, but not for me. The necher, what's necher? Dugmas. V'al tere biyom achicha biyom nachra. Pasig noivadya. Don't look at your friend. Al tere biyom achecha. B'yom Nachro, don't give an evil eye to your friend on the day of his destruction. When Rahman al-Aslan, a friend is going through a hard time, don't judge him. Don't go give him a dirty look and say, good for you, you got what you deserve. So we see it in the context of this pasuk of Navadia, the word Nichro means a day of his churban, a day that is strange to him, a day that's foreign to him. The word is used there in the same exact way. Pasuk Dalit, Halayhu Yired Derocho. He even now complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows that I'm a tzaddik. He sees my way. Hashem counts all of my steps. Hashem is well aware that every step I've taken in my life was good, was righteous, and therefore I don't deserve to suffer in this way. Mitzudos pasuk dalid, Haloihu Amar Kein Ladasrei. He's saying this to his friends. Loimar im Mashkiachu Kidivrechem Haloi Royehu Derochai. Now the Mitzudos is asking the obvious question. According to Eiv that is mentioned many times throughout the Sefer, there's no such thing as Ashkacha Pratis. That means Hashem does not pay attention. So why then does he say here these words? Halohu Yireh Derochai. Hashem sees my ways. Hashem sees my steps. He counts my steps. What do you mean, Eve? Have you not made a claim all along that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in the daily affairs of this world? Hashem created the world and disappeared. He wound up the world like a clock and disappeared.
It's not necessarily the same as it thought.
What?
Observing.
Okay, that's one answer. That's one approach. Or you can even say better. Eve really deep down does know there is Ashkacha Pratis. He's just complaining that it's not fair. But Mitzudos is learning the pasuk on a very simple level that according to you, my friends, according to me, Lididi, according to me, I fully understand why this is happening because there is no Ashkacha Pratis. But according to you, I've made the claim all along throughout these 30 parakim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is Ashkacha Pratis. So it's not fair. Hashem knows as a fact that I am a tzaddik, I have done nothing wrong, why then do I suffer? The age-old question. He does indeed see my ways according to you, and he does know, he does count my steps, and therefore it's not fair that I should suffer in such a fashion. Pasuk Dalet in Rashi, Uma Tzadai, Uma V'chol Tzadai Yispar V'roya Im Halachti Im Shav. Hashem has seen if it's true that I have walked together with evil people or done things of nonsense, and you, my friends, are well aware and I'm well aware that I have not done anything wrong. I don't deserve this form of suffering. Pasuk Hey Im Halachti. Now he goes on to say as follows. Now he the Pasuk Hey Im Halachti Im Shav. Okay, Pasuk Rally, really the Rashi and Pasuk Dal was leading into Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Dal and Hey go together. Hashem has counted my steps. The end of Pasuk Hey writes, it says, "V'chol Tzadai Yispar." Hashem counts my steps. What has Hashem counted? Im Halachti Im Shav. Did I travel with a person of emptiness, an evil? In other words, an evil person. The Tachash Al Mirma Raglai. Did I hurry? The word Tachash means swift. Did I quickly send my feet to travel to a place of deceit? Of course not. And therefore, I don't deserve to suffer. Let's see. Mitzvah Pasuk Dalet. Haloihu Amar Kein Ladas. Pasuk Hey. Did I travel? Musav Lemikosh Shulfana. Pasuk Hey is a continuation of the Pasuk Dalet. Loimar Halo Yire Im Halachti. Hashem has seen if I have traveled Im Anshei Shav Lihidamos Lohem, to be similar to them. V'im Raglai Maru Lachas Al Derech Mirma. Hashem has seen if my feet have taken me quickly, have traveled quickly to a place, a road of deceit. Hashem knows I have not done so. Pasuk Hey in Rashi, the Tachash. The word Tachash means Usimaher, it means to go quick. Kamo Achishena. So Rashi is telling us what Achishena, even though there is no tough. It's a very interesting the word Achishena, there is no tough. It's just the two similar letters are the Ches and the Shin. Ki Goz Chish also means swift. It means a swift chish, ches, and the shin, the swift. So that's what tachash means. And we're adding a tof somehow is padded into the word. Rav Schwab has a very interesting observation. He quotes an idea from Rav Shamshon Rifol Hirsch. We all are very well aware that in the desert, the Mishkan, the third layer of the Mishkan, was covered with an art tachash. And the Kalim as well, when they traveled in the desert, they were all put in, they were first covered with a garment of Tcheles, and on top of the Tcheles, there was a garment of Tachash. the Arun was the exception. The Arun was first covered with Tachash, and then on top was covered with the garment of Tcheles. So his question, so the Rav Shamshir Folhur says, we see here in Tanakh, in Iyov, the word Tachash means swift. Tachash, according to Rashi in the Mitzudos, Tachash means swift. If not for this Rashi, this Mitzudos, we would say that Tachash, we would assume that the Tuf is part of the Sheresh and has nothing to do with the word Chush, with the word this word Achishena, which means swift. But yet Rashi here, and from the context of the pasuk, it's clear that the word Tachash, the Tav, is also part of the Sharish. It means the same thing. So isn't it very interesting that this creature had a beautiful hide, a multicolored hide? The Tachash, Chazal say, had a multicolored hide. Saskoina. The shoes, the leftover they used, and the leftover hides of the Tachash, they made shoes in the desert. It was obviously very high quality leather, and it was also very beautiful. It's called Saskoina. Targum translates Tachash as a Saskona. Saskona means sauce. It takes joy in gavn, in gona, in its colors. The creature indeed appreciated the fact that it had a multicolored garment and it was extremely beautiful and it was used to cover the Mishkan. Chazal tell us that Tachash no longer exists. It only exists during the time of the Midbar. In the Midbar, it appeared in that generation and disappeared. We don't know, we cannot identify the animal in our day and age. And a Chazal also have a discussion, the question, is this a behema or a chaya? Is it a domesticated animal or is it a chaya? L'may nafkanina, if it's a kosher, is it kosher? If it is kosher, does it require kisi adam? Only the blood of a wild animal requires kisi adam. The blood of a behema does not require kisi adam. So Chazal is not even clear if the tachash is a chaya or a behema, or maybe it's a bria bifnei atzma, yeah?
You're saying that the leftover they made shoes. Where did they get the tools from? I mean, bottom shoes.
What's
that again? Where did they have the cane to make shoes?
They took with them. They left Egypt. They took with them their tools. Their tools, the trade. How did they build the Mishkan? They all needed tools to build the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a complex, a very complicated construction project. How were they able to build the Mishkan? They had tools. They were able to improvise. They purchased things from the neighbors, or they took with them tools out of Egypt. They had tools and materials. So here's the idea. So we have over here this word Tachash. On the one hand, it refers to a creature that was used to cover the Mishkan, and the other hand, it means swift. So what is the connection between the two? Shav Shamshir Falhirsh writes, what? Right, so that's obviously, it was a very quick animal, it was a very swift animal. Shav Shamshin Falhirsh says that the reason why they covered the Mishkan with this Tachash, not just because it was beautiful, it was a message that Hashem was giving Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan was not meant to be a permanent structure. The Mishkan was only meant to be a very temporary structure. The goal was to enter Eretz Yisrael immediately, to immediately build the Beis HaMikdash, and to replace the Mishkan with the Beis HaMikdash. So it was meant to be a swift transition. That was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mention. Don't get too comfortable with the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is only meant to be very temporary until you build a permanent Mikdash for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina. What happened? Things did not go according to plan. There was the Chet HaEgel, there was the Berched of the Meraglim, which delayed them for 40 years, and that started off the delay process. They came into Eretz Yisrael, there were problems. There was Avodah Zarah, there were different problems, and it took 480 years until they actually built the Beis HaMikdash. So from the time they left Mitzrayim, so what was meant to be quick, that means they ended up using the Tachash, the Or Tachash, to some degree. We know Gilgal, they were there for 14 years. Then they were in Shiloh for 369 years. If I'm not mistaken, in Shiloh they still had Yerioth, so they still used the Artachash in Shiloh. The walls were made from stone, but the ceiling was still used. They still used the Yerioth of the Mishkan for the covering of the Mishkan Shiloh. Noiv Givon, they also had a Mishkan. So it seems that for 480 years, to some degree, they continued to use the Or Tachash, and it was meant to be very quick, But obviously it spanned many generations. Okay, so that's an interesting idea to keep note of. So even here you're saying, Hashem, is it true, Hashem, did I ever walk, did I ever use my feet to travel to a place of Shav, did I ever quickly go to a place of deceit? Of course not. And therefore it's not fear that I suffer. Pasuk Vav, he now demands justice. Eiv says, Hashem, Pasuk Vav, Yishkaleni v'moznei tzedek, Hashem, I demand of you that you should weigh my sins, my actions on a scale of tzedek. V'yeda eloka tu masi, and by doing so you will know my innocence. You will come to the conclusion I have done nothing wrong. I don't deserve. We put on one side my suffering and put on the other side my deeds, my good deeds, and you will see that the suffering far outweighs my good deeds. It's not fair that I suffer in such a fashion. Pasik Vav in the Mesudos David, Yishgaleni, me eating, he's complaining. If only it can be, going back to his old themes, the old questions, always Eve is always demanding justice. Me eating, if only it can be, Asher Yishgaleni, because they say, Hashem Baruch Hu can weigh me, can weigh my merits in the scale of tzedek. On one side of the scale will put my merits, and on the other side will put my sins. Oz yeda eloka, Hashem will know clearly to mosi my innocence. Ki hazuchuyos yachuyo, there will be more merits than sins, and I will be innocent, and I will do not deserve suffering. We all know, by the way, this is a very difficult concept because we all know. Obviously the mitzvah does not to be taken literally, but we all know that judgment is not, you don't win if you have more sins than averos. Just because a person has more mitzvos than averos doesn't mean you go to Gan Eden. A person is rewarded for his mitzvos and is punished for his sins. There's no such thing as just I have you, whoever it's just a race to the finish. It's all or nothing. Every single mitzvah there's reward, and for every single avera there are sins. But even this means, and figuratively, is that it's not fair. I've got a raw deal. It's not fair for me to suffer to the degree that I suffer, because certainly my merits, I have zechuyos, and my zechuyos should protect me from this form of suffering. Pasuk Vav in Rashi, there is no Rashi. Pasuk Zayin. In Tite Ashuri Mini Haderech, he now says, Hashem, I demand of you, Im, is it true that Tite Ashuri means my steps have gone off the path, have deviated from the path, Mini Haderech, V'achar Einai Holach Libi, did it ever happen that my eyes followed my heart, V'loisosudu Acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem asheretem zonim machem. Did it ever happen that my eyes they followed my heart? Uvichapai dovak mu'um. Did my hands ever hold on to mu'um? Means anything. And here it's silent. It's not telling us what the anything is. It means obviously something of evil, of sin. Did my hands ever cleave to any small mashuhu of sin? Of course not. I never did anything wrong my entire life. Why then do I suffer? Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Zayin im Tite im Nata Saragli min Haderech Haroi. Did my feet ever veer off the path, the proper path? Vim Libi Holachacha Maris Einai. Did my eyes ever follow? Did my heart ever follow what my eyes saw? Did my hands ever attach themselves to something which is sinful? Of course not. So why then should I suffer in such a horrible way? Rashi Pasuk Zayin says mu'um means humum davar, means something. Shemetz humum davar shemetz. It means something disgusting. If you look at the Mitzudos Tzion. The Mitzudos Tzion in Pasuk Zayin says, Mu'um mem, alavav mem, kemo mum, a blemish. Ohu miloshon mu'uma. So there are really two translations. Mu'um means a shemetz. Rashi is taking the Mitzudos first interpretation. It means something that is detestable. Did I ever hold on to a blemish? Mu'um means a blemish. Did I ever attach myself to sin? Another interpretation is what I told you originally. When I translated the pasuk, means anything. It doesn't mean here a blemish. It means anything. But from the context, it's self-understood that anything means a blemish. It's the same idea. Whether you translate mum mum to mean a blemish, or you translate mum to mean anything, the same idea is being conveyed. I've done nothing wrong. But either it means mum a shemetz, or it means me'uma, something. Well, look one more time in the words of the Mitzudos Sion. Me'um k'mo mum. First interpretation, a blemish. Second interpretation, ohu miloshon me'uma means something. V'ratzulaymar, dover ma. Something, and from the context we understand it means me'avon of sin. Rashi pasuk zayin mu'um humum. Rashi's first interpretation, a blemish. Davar shemetz. So what's the aleph? The word aleph. The aleph does not belong here. Mum is a blemish. Is spelled without an aleph. The aleph zo kisuva v'loy karia. This aleph is padded into the word, but it's not actually read. Bimisores hagadola fumigizras loy so sifun. It's just like the word lo so sifun. There's an aleph in the word lo so sifun. Amzu asisi. Hayisi roi lovoy olai klala zu. I'm sorry. Just refers to word loisosifun. There's an extra aleph, just like there is an extra aleph in the word loisosifun. So to the word mum, there's an extra aleph, and Rashi explains what it means. Im zu asisi, he now explains shan the pasuk. He was saying takol shparchu. If it's true that I have done an avera, you're right. I will then be matzik olai eshadin. I will then acknowledge I deserve to suffer. But I have not sinned, and therefore I did not deserve gzun, I did not deserve to suffer. Im zu asisi, if I have done this, meaning I have done navera, hayisi roi lovo olai klala. So I will be deserving to receive this curse. But I have not sinned, and therefore I don't deserve to suffer in such a horrible way. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches, he begins to describe. He begins to describe sins, different types of sins that possibly he could have done, and if he would have done them, then he would deserve to suffer. But of course, he says, I didn't do on these averos, so I don't deserve to suffer. Now, what would be those sins? Ezra, if I have done these sins that he mentioned, the previous psukim, if I've done sins, then I would be deserving of suffering. I would deserve to plant. Ezra, I would plant the acher yoichel, and someone else would eat the produce of my labor. Would eat the fruit. The teich, exactly. And I would deserve that the roots. The tzatzah means the produce. The produce shall be uprooted. That my plants shall be uprooted. That I would deserve such a terrible thing if indeed I did sin. Let's take a look at Pasuk Ches into the Stavid. Into the Stavid Pasuk Ches Ezra Azai. If it's true that I did do an avera, yihyeh hagmul, then the punishment would be fitting. I would deserve punishment. What would be the punishment? Asher Ezra ani esodai, I would plant my field, v'achar yoichal tivuasi, and someone else would come and eat up the produce. I would deserve such a terrible thing to happen to me. V'tzed so I. Oh, what? V'achar, and someone else, v'achar.
Is this a statement or a rhetorical question?
It's a continuation of the previous psuk. The previous psuk is saying im. Go back to pasuk hey. Im halachti im shav betachash shal mirma ragli. Then yishkele. Or then pasuk zayin again. Im tite ashuri mini hadorech v'achar einai halach libi uvichapai devak mum. Then it's you have to be very loose in putting these psukim together, but that's what Rashi says and Tzimtzum says.
It's a series of if-then.
Right,
things.
Correct. But the psukim are not necessarily matched up, they're not back to back. You have to look back at the big picture. He was saying, if I have done all of these averos, then indeed I would deserve what it says now. What's part of the, what's one of the greatest forms of klala is when you work and someone else enjoys the benefit of your labor. That's a very great curse. It's one thing when the person, he doesn't work, easy come, easy go. Or you work and you don't achieve anything. You work, you don't accomplish. But when you work and you accomplish something, and someone else comes along and chaps and takes it away from you, that's a very big klala. You invest, you spend years working on a business, working to achieve a goal, to get a position, and then at the last minute someone comes along and takes away everything you work for, and you have to witness that. That's extremely painful, and that is begeder a klala, a very great klala. Okay, the next words of the mitzvot vitzetzai. One of the words tzetzai means the tzmach, it means the shoots, it means the produce, the product vitzetzai oyhat tzmachim, the vegetation hayoytzim, which comes out of the ground, which is the product of my labor, then I would deserve, if I've done an avera, ye'okru im ha'shoresh, it should be uprooted with the roots. A very great klal, where there's no hope that it can rejuvenate, even the roots will come out. Rashi Pasuk Ches explains, Ezra, if I indeed have committed a sin, I would deserve, Ezra v'yachar yochal, v'tzetzua ye'shoreshu, ye'okru ha'shoreshu, the roots should be pulled out. Okay, Pasuk Tes Im Niftalibi Alish. Now he describes another possible sin. If I would have Niftalibi, my heart would have attempted to seduce Alish, a woman. I know of an attractive woman that's not my wife, someone else's wife, and I would try to persuade her to do an Avera. If I would have made such an attempt, Im Niftalibi Alisha, V'al Pesach Re'i Orofti, and I would stand by the Pesach of my friend and wait in ambush to come upon his wife and convince her, to seduce her, to do an Avera, then let's read the next pasuk. Then I would deserve Mida Keneged Mida, that my wife would be unfaithful to me. Then I would deserve Titchan La'acher Ishti, I would then deserve that someone else should grind with my wife. Now that can be one of two things. Either it can be that my wife would reduce to a state of poverty, that we'll lose all of our income, and my wife will have to go and work some very, very difficult job, where she will be susceptible to someone else being mafat to her. Just like I seduced someone else's wife, my wife will be vulnerable. She'll be reduced to poverty and she'll be vulnerable. Someone will come and try to seduce her. And the way he describes the situation where a woman will be seduced was if she's grinding. She's using a handmill. So it's not sneistic. If she's going and she's using a handmill, she's not together. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome, Mr. Axelrod. She would be in a matziv.
It's not Friday.
Today's not Friday?
No.
Okay. V'al Pesach Re'i Orovti. Hey, thanks. V'al Pesach Re'i Orovti. Niftali B'Alisha. V'al Pesach Re'i Orovti. So it's a titchan lacher ishti. So we'll see. This means that a woman who's working by grinding, using a hand grinder, is in a state where she, other people, shalalecha welcome. When it rains, it pours. By the way, everybody, some regards from Mayor.
Yeah, I sent you email.
Is he listening now?
I don't think so, but he wants to hear from you.
Yeah.
Okay, so this woman would be reduced to a situation where she will be vulnerable to other men. That's one interpretation. Rashi gives us another interpretation. Chazal, the word titchan, is always used as a metaphor for marital relations. So then what he's saying over here is that if I seduced a woman who is the wife of another man, I cause another woman to be unfaithful, it would only be Mida Keneged Mida, that my wife should be unfaithful to me. Then Titchan Le'acher Ishti, my wife would have relations with another man, V'yoleha Yichru'un Acherim, and others would kneel down before. These are euphemisms for relations. Let's take a look at these two psukim in the mitzvot, pasuk tes and pasuk in the mitzvot, pasuk tes. Im nifte, im hoyalibi nifte min hayetzahara. If my heart would be enticed, would be seduced from the yetzahara would get the better of me. It would be nifte, and that the result would be, what would the yetzahara? The yetzahara would attack al ahavas isha, would attempt to persuade me to love another woman. The im orafti, repeats himself. If I would lie in ambush by the Pesach of my friend, if I would be nichshol in this terrible aver, then I would be deserving titchan. I would be deserving titchan. So rather than the Siddur here says something very simple, not like Rashi, it's not a euphemism. Yehi hagmul, then mida keneged mida, shebavur hagoydil hovel, due to my incredible sin, titchan ishti tevua berechaim shalyad. My wife, my family would be reduced to a state of poverty where we would have to hire ourselves to do hard, crushing labor. And the example given is to grind using a hand mill. Letzorech acher, in order to provide someone else with flour. Lahachiyos nafsha, she would do this in order to sustain herself. So what would be so terrible? What would be so terrible is this is not a job for a nice Jewish woman. Because this job is not, this type of job makes a woman vulnerable to someone else seducing her. This will be a cause asher yichru'una lech achedim. Zulasi, other men would notice her and would attempt to seduce her. Ki b'yoyser redufa achar parnasasa, if she would run after making a living, yimsu lo me'anosim, men would find her, umefatim liznos, and would attempt to seduce her to commit an avera. That's how the mitzvah learns. Rashi is a bit more explicit. Take a look at Rashi pasuk ches and pasuk tes, pasuk tes and pasuk yud. Al pesach rei arafti leishtoi. If I would have done an avera, where I would have attempted to lie in ambush by the home of my friend to seduce his wife leishto, then yashiv li gemuli, then I would be deserving of the punishment. What's the punishment? Pasuk Yud, the next words, Titchan la'acher ishti. Okay, so Rashi is very explicit. Rabbi Sein u'Pershua, Loshon Tashmish. Marital relations. Kemo v'hi teichin b'beis ho'asurin. Pasuk concerning Shimshain, it says he was there, he was, they used Shimshain, they forced him to cause the Plishti women to become pregnant, so that they would have children that are very mighty. So here the example given is toichan. Toichan means to grind marital relations. Okay, this is what it says. Now, what's very interesting over here is Rav Schwab discussed is this is the second time in the Sefer we learn about, or at least a hint, to the wife of Eiv. Eiv's wife, who is his wife? She's only mentioned once in the beginning of the Sefer Eiv, where Eiv finds himself in a very difficult matzav. She says to him, "Just bless Hashem and die."
What's her name?
It doesn't say explicitly. Some say it was Dina Bas Yaakov.
Oh, really?
Chazal say that Eiv was married to Dina Bas Yaakov. And Dina Bas Yaakov, she says to Eiv, "Eiv, just be mevorech Hashem and die," which means curse Hashem. She meant to say to him, you shall, it's a euphemism for a klala, and by doing so, on a very simple level, that avera is such a great avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will certainly strike you down instantly, and you'll die, your suffering will come to an end. Eiv said to her in response, "You speak achas hanevolos." He strongly criticized her. "You speak like one of the nevolos." According to the Medrash, "You speak like the people of Shechem, because you had relations with Shechem ben Hamor. You were influenced by them, that short period of time that you were with, you were living with Shechem ben Hamor. He had obviously had influence on you, and that is why you have the chutzpah to say to me, I should be mevorech Hashem and I should die." Okay, that's one window into who was this woman, what was her attitude, and what did Eiv speak to her. But since at that point in time, we have no mention whatsoever of who this woman is. She's not mentioned here in Sefer Eiv at all. Here, we now find a reference to, again, his wife. Now, the Rav Schwab says that it's not clear. Is he actually discussing what happened? Eiv here, that's a question. It's not clear. You can argue both ways. Eiv over here is saying it's not fair.
If he was guilty of what he's hinting at.
No, but Eiv is complaining that it's not fair. Eiv is saying that I look what's happening to me. I'm receiving punishment for things I did not do. That's the whole thing of Sefer Eiv. My children died. All my children died. I lost all my wealth. Everything that bad that can happen, my body is decaying, it's full of pus, my limbs. So when he enlists this this horrible thing that's happening, that his wife is not loyal, that his wife, that there is a woman. That is the question Rav Schwab asks. How do we interpret this pasuk? Is this also one of the forms of punishment that Eev suffers, and he's complaining it's not fair? Did my wife, on a very similar level, look what's going on here. My wife is not loyal, she's not faithful to me. She's having relations with other men. Why? It's not 100% her fault.
All we think we know is that she left him. That doesn't necessarily...
Exactly. Well, that's right. In Echanami, that's one approach. Rav Schwab says we have no reason to assume that she actually, this is actually true what it says, 100%. But you can argue, I'm going to come to your point in a moment, you can argue, just like everything else that has happened to Eev is not fair, the loss of his children, his health, his assets, wealth is not fair, perhaps he's coming to reveal here, there's another very great tragedy that has happened, that his wife left him. Not just that his wife left him, his wife is not faithful to him. She's having an affair with other men. Why? Because she was seduced. Why was she seduced? All because of what happened to him. He is reduced to poverty. He is reduced to a state of poverty, and she has to go now work as a slave for someone else. She has to grind flour, grind wheat, and now someone seduced her. And Eev says, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe my wife is unfaithful to me. If I, in my lifetime, would have been unfaithful to my wife, I would have seduced another woman, then okay, I would understand, then neither can I give me that it's proper, I understand why it's happening to me. But I didn't do anything like this. In fact, in the beginning of this parak, he writes this very powerful pasuk, Baris Karati Le'enoi. I've made a baris with my eyes. I never looked at a woman that's not my wife. I never even looked at a basula, a woman, not a married woman. So Eve over here is saying it's just not fair. Is that the way we're going to learn the pshat and the pasuk? Rav Schwab says very possible that's what the pasuk means. But you're not forced to say that that's what the pasuk really is saying. Maybe Eve is just disgusting. He's just giving over. He's just venting. He's saying, "I did not do any other. If I would have done an avera in a chanami, I would be deserving midah keneged midah." And he's just saying something that's theoretical, but he doesn't mean to actually say that his wife has left him and is having relations with another man. So this is a question. It's interesting. You can argue both sides, because why else would he say it if it's not actually true? You can make a very powerful argument that it is true, because why else would he bother with saying this? Everything else that he complains about seems to be true, and also obviously it has a very great consequence, because once his wife is not faithful, she can no longer come back to him. So Eve is now going to have, at the end of the sefer, he's going to have another more children. When everything is all said and over, it's going to have to mean it's going to be from a different wife, because if this is true, then there, at least according to halacha, if Eve was a Jew, did follow Jewish law, if a woman is unfaithful to her husband, she no longer can come back to her husband.
It might also apply to her
duress. What?
Under Sheva Mitzvahs, it might also.
Does it apply? I'm not so sure it applies to Sheva Mitzvahs. If a woman is unfaithful and her husband can't take her back, I don't know the answer. Maybe you're right. But it's something interesting point. And the other interesting point is that if it is true, this will then be a second reference to the wife of Eos. Okay,
Shimon Suetu.
Shimon, what?
Got married with her.
There's a machlokes in the medrash. There are many medrashim. There are conflicting medrashim. Who did Dina marry? Did Dina marry Shimon, one of the brothers? Did Dina marry Eiv? Did Dina marry someone else? According to one interpretation, Dina was also pregnant. She had a child, Osnas. Osnas bas Potiphera was the daughter of Dina from Shechem. The father was Shechem. There are many midrashim. The midrashim do not necessarily agree with each other. Or sometimes you can learn that the midrashim, they do agree, and she was married to both. At one point in time, she was married to Shimon. Maybe Shimon divorced her, and then she ended up marrying Eev. Or maybe she was married to Eev, and she left Eev. She married Shimon. Okay, there are many midrashim, and that is all part of Medrash. As the Medrash, are the Medrashim to be taken literally? Do they agree with one another? Do they not agree with one another? That is a topic in and of itself. Let's go further. Now we come to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph describes the severity of Gilui Arayos. He says, if I would have been nichshol in the aver of Gilui Arayos, I would deserve to suffer severely. Why? Ki hi. It's a very important pasuk. We don't know we do not know how to rate the value and the severity of mitzvos and averos. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are certain mitzvos which are considered lighter, or averos which are lighter relative to averos which are more severe. Look at the avos. Avram Avinu, we told Eliezer, I want you to go back to Aram Naharaim and find a shidduch for my son Yitzchak. What's the gedul of going to Aram Naharaim? The oiv de avodah zara. It's one of the big three. Avodah zara gilerai shvichas tamim. So here in Canaan, it doesn't say in Canaan where Avram was living in Eretz Canaan, it wasn't. It seems he had influence over his environment. It doesn't seem they were doing avodah zara, but they were bad. They had bad midos. Chazal say midos is not in Shulchan Aruch. Avodah zara is in the Torah. So when you want to compare bad midos first, avodah zara l'chora, we would say avodah zara is much worse. Yet you see in Avraham's eyes, bad midos is far worse than one of the big three. So you see that we do not know how to rate, we do not know how to value. And Hanami, that's the answer. The answer is about the Zohar is a theology. So you can, ideology, but Midos character is part of your DNA. And Hanami, so that's just an example. It goes to show that we do not know how to put a value, to rate relative one to another, the value of mitzvos and averos. Here we have a very important part. We have averos. Where does the avera of gilui arayos stand relative to the other tayag mitzvos? Is it from the worst of the worst, or maybe it's not so bad? A person has a yetzahara, it's a terrible avera. Can't say not, but maybe there are things in Tayag Mitzvot that a person should devote more of his effort. So here we have a very important pasuk which indicates that Gilui Arayos is from the worst of the worst. Because it says here, Ki Hi Zima. We don't have Psukim Tanakh telling us, evaluating other mitzvos to the degree that it does like this mitzvah. This is a sin. The sin of Gilui Arayos is called Zima. Zima is a very powerful word which means Machshava Ra, a thought. Zima is used in connection with, look at the Mitzudos Tzion. Machshava Ra, Kmo Zima Hi. And then he goes on to say, V'hu Avon Pililim. Pililim can mean many things. According to the Mitzudos, it means it's deserving of punishment. Deserving of Mishpat. Lashon of okay, it means joking. Judgment. Tfila is called. Okay, Mishal, let's allude with that. It means it's deserving of punishment. So Eev here is saying, if I would have been nichshol in the sin of Gilui Arayos in the good old days, in the days of my health and success, then I would stand back and I would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're a tzaddik, I deserve everything that's happening to me. Because indeed, Gilui Arayos is in the class of Zima and Pililim. That's a class by itself. We are able to take away from this pasuk a lesson that it's serious business. Relative to other averos, it requires much more, a greater degree of shmira to protect ourselves, not to be nichshol in this form of sin. Let's look at the pasuk. It means court. It means it's deserving of judgment. Right. Let's see pasuk Gidal from the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Yud Aleph Kihi Zima Ki Machsheves Haznus. The thought of Zima, of illicit relations. Ki Machshava Ra. It's an evil thought. V'hu Avon. It is a sin. Haroi Lihi Shafet. A love that is deserving of punishment, judgment. In other words, I deserve to suffer. Rashi, Pasik Yud Aleph Kihi Zima. The Arei Hayisi. I'm afraid. Imasisi. If I have committed such a crime, shuhu avoin pelili, it is a sin that is deserving of punishment. Avoin, it is a sin, shemishpat yisurin. Okay, so pelili, according to Rashi, doesn't just mean judgment, it means punishment. Okay, when a person goes to jail today in the United States of America, there's a debate in the Supreme Court, is jail punishment, or is jail, we're not here to punish you. We're here to protect society. We're here to rehab. We're here to protect society from people like you. L'may nafka mina. If we're going to feed you good food in prison, if prison is punishment, you don't deserve to have a good meal. But if prison is not a form of punishment, it's just something that's necessary to protect society for people like you, so you could have a good life in prison. You can do whatever you want. You can learn Kol in prison. It's just you can leave this location. So here, according to Pliny a judge, he says over here it's Avon of Yisurin. Pliny, according to Rashi, has a connotation. It's not just where the judge issues judgment, you're guilty, and we're going to do something to you. We're going to bring upon you physical suffering. Yisurin. Ru'uyim lovoy al yodo. I would deserve what I suffer for. It's scary stuff, this pasuk. The chait of Arias. Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis says, ki eshi. Again, another pasuk. Okay, another pasuk describing the severity of Gili Arayos. Ki eshi. It's equivalent to fire. A person that's nichshol in Gili Arayos, he's playing with fire. It's fire. Ad avadon. The fire is not just a little match. The fire consumes until there's nothing left. Completely, it consumes everything. Teichel ritz. Ad avadon tochel. It destroys, it consumes until there's nothing left. Uvechol tivu osit sishareish. And this fire has the power to uproot from the shirashim all of my produce. That's how terrible it is, the sin of Arayos. Pasuk Yud Beis. Ki eishi machsheves hazinus. A thought. Forget about actual Arayos. Even a machshev of zinus. Doimehi le'esh. It's similar to fire. Hachileches that travels. Visorefes arasher toivar hakol. Kein machsheves hazinus. Likewise, a machshev of zinus. Tivaer ke'esh. Burns like fire. V'loi tishkod. And it's not quiet. Does not calm down. Ad yivatza maaseyu. Until it destroys a person's accomplishments. V'chol kach roi liyois hagmul. And a person deserves, and so it's fitting punishment for such shehavoin atzmoi, the sin itself, toivar hakol, the sin itself is so severe, a person deserves that the fire should burn, v'lo tishkoit, should not be silent, ad tishorish b'chol tivuasi, until it uproots all of my produce, la'akor hakol imashorish, not just to destroy what I've accomplished, but even to destroy the roots, what is below down, even that is deserving of punishment, that is a fitting punishment for the sin of Gilui Arayos. Okay, so this is, it's powerful stuff, what he's saying here, to warn, he's trying to be matzik olav es hadin. I indeed would deserve to suffer everything I have law if I did the Avera. If it's true that I was nichshol in Gili Arayos, if even I had bad machshavos. But Eiv says, I didn't. I'm a tzaddik. I didn't do these things. And that's what goes back to the beginning of the Perek Lamed Alef, the very first pasuk. Baris korati leinoi. Umo espoi nein al besula. I never looked at a woman, and therefore this can't be the cause of what I have done. There's another important point I want to make mention of that Rav Schwab, I believe, mentions this, is Eliphaz, and not only Eliphaz, but the three friends were enumerated a collection of sins that Eve possibly had done for which he deserves to suffer. Nowhere did they ever mention Gili Arayos. Look, comb the psukim very carefully. They never mentioned anything about Gili Arayos, and they never mentioned anything about, and they could not possibly know about his thoughts, even if he was not actually nichshol in actually having relations, having an affair with a woman, but no one knows what someone else is thinking. So here, Eiv is saying, Eliphaz, Tsofar, Bildad, I know you've accused me, you've given me a long, long list of sins that I've possibly done. All of my corrupt. But on the list, was there any mention of Gili Arayos. And I want to let you know, you could add that to the list. Just like a Hindu, I deny everything else. Everything that you've told me that I've done, that's not true. And anything else you can possibly come up with, I'll help you. You forgot to add to the list Gili Arayos. Seemingly, the reason why they did not add that to the list is that they had nothing to deal with. There was not even a shemitz. It was so clean in this matter of Gilui Arayos, they couldn't even find any mashuhu that they could have the chutzpah to accuse them of doing such a thing. And Eiv says, and guess what? Even something you could not possibly know about, meaning what goes on in my mind, machshavos zima, machshavos of Arayos, even that I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make it clear to you that I was not nichsholin, because bris karati leinoi. So he's just coming over here to emphasize I'm a tzaddik. Not only am I a tzaddik in your standards, according to your list of possible averos, I'm a tzaddik in my list. I have another list of possible sins that a person can do, and I have not done those averos either. Pasik. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik yud beis uvichol tivu asi tisharesh. And the sin of Arayos is so terrible, it brings fire in its wake, and that fire consumes everything, it even burns the roots, it uproots the roots from below the ground. Yes?
You implied that
Bu Asi
destroys the
Sharesh
could be his children?
Possibly, whatever tivuasi yishresh, my produce, the person's children are the fruits, right? The person's are yodam eitzasadeh, and the peros of the tree are the children. Okay, here it's tivua, does tivua refer to children?
Growth.
Okay, the growth, whatever his product.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Avadon is not one of the level of the Gehinnom, Shachad Le'ad Avadon.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with Gehenna. I haven't gone there yet. Not yet. When I come back, I'll let you know. but what?
Email us.
What? You won't hear from me. Okay.
Nobody texts you because nobody's got.
I'll take a cell phone. I hope they have service down there.
Yeah. Hotmail.
Okay. Okay, but here it means destruction. Let's take a look here. Behold, to see to Sharesh of your Pasigid base. Ha'esh hazos in Rashi. Lo esh hazos. That this fire consumes even the roots of my tua. Lechein nim nati measos kishu. Period. Lechein nim nati measos. Therefore, I have withheld myself. I am well aware of the consequences of Arayas. And that is why I have withheld myself from doing these averos. Now, Rashi just gives a grammar lesson. The word is a word. There's a word yishrosh and yisharesh. You have two words which mean exactly two. The sharesh of almost every single word can mean opposites. Yishrosh means to take root, and yisharesh, when you have different vowels, it means to uproot. There are many, many examples. Sokol means to stone, to throw stones. Yisokel means to remove. Yisokel means to remove the stones. You have many, many words. I always like to give the example of Tzion and Tzion. Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim, and there's Tzion. What does Tzion mean? So there are many perushim, the meaning of Tzion. I always like to suggest that there's a word in Tanakh that appears in Shai often, Tzion, with a komatz. Tzion means a dry, arid piece of land. A land that is void of any moisture. Tzion, an arid land. Tzion, the same exact letters, when you rearrange the vowels, would then mean, according to this suggestion, that every single word can mean the opposite when you play around with the vowels, would mean a well-watered land. A land that is moist. And when you discuss the concepts of spirituality, hoy kol tzomei l'chulamayim. So Tzion means a land that is saturated in Torah. Tzion is dry land. Tzion is a wet land. Wet, in the context of spirituality, means a land that is filled with Torah. Ki mitzion teitzei soira. From Tzion comes forth Torah. Hoy kol tzomei l'chulamayim. Ein mayim ala Torah. Tzion verse Tzion. So here is the basic idea. What he says over here of...
You have that in English too.
You have in English also?
Well, you have pits, and you have an olive that is pitted.
Interesting. Okay, okay.
Take it out.
Another example. We say Rosh Chodesh Pensing. We say Chilutz Atzamos. What does it mean, Chilutz Atzamos? Chilutz means that the bones shall be firmly put into their socket. Why does the word Chilutz mean to be put? It comes from the word Chalitzas Hanal. What is Chalitzas Hanal? To untie the shoe. To loosen the shoe. The shoe is tightly attached to a person's foot. When one does Chalitza, the Yivam, for Yavam, Chalitza Sanal, you loosen the straps of the shoe so the shoe can be pulled off. So you see the word Chalitza means to loosen.
You take it.
Ritzei is strengthen us. So there, so to know Ritzei, no, there means the other way around. Ritzei v'hachatzei means to strengthen us. Strengthen us. So therefore, just like Chalitza means to loosen, with a patach Chalitza, when you take the patach and you put instead of a patach under the ches, a chirik, you put it in chilutz atzamos, it means don't loosen, but fasten. The bone shall be put firmly into its socket. It should not move. Chilutz atzamos.
Yes, that means that to could also mean to be.
Bones should come out of their sockets. No. You need a doctor. You don't want to do that.
Be flexible to.
It, mean, but
it means exercise.
It means the strengthening of the bones. Chilutz atzamos means the bones are strong, and it means very little translation means the bone shall be firmly put in their sockets. If a bone is loosened from its socket, it's not a good thing. You need a doctor. And a doctor is, you need a... It's not a pleasant experience. When the bones are dislocated, when the bones get weak and the muscles loosen up and the bones are not fully firm, they're not firm in their sockets. Chilutz atzamos means a person should be vibrant. His bones should all be firmly put in their sockets. That is the opposite of the word chalitza, which means to loosen, to take out of its position of strength. Like the removal, the loosening of the shoe from the foot. Chalitza. So here is the prime example of Yishrosh and Yisharesh. Here Rashi explains this Yisod.
Tisharesh
to uproot.
It is passive voice.
Okay, let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi explains. Kishahu midab loshon ikor. When you want to describe the concept of uprooting, Omer, the correct expression is tisharesh. Uvaloshin shoresh. Shoresh means to take the opposite, to take root. Omer tishrosh. Tishrosh means the item, the tree, the product will take root, takes root. But when you want to say that it's uprooted, you vowelize it tisharesh. It has been uprooted. V'chein yishoyrashu. The word yishoyrashu with the yud in front is miloshon ikor, means to uproot. Yishrishu, but when you vowelize it not yishroishu, but yishrishu loshon shoresh, to take root. To take root. Okay, so
it sounds like the PL.
It's just playing around with the vowels. You play with the vowels.
The PL is the stronger.
Okay, I asked an expert about this. Is there any rule? Is there any rule? There's not necessarily any rule. Is it a chiruk versus a cholam versus a komatz or a patoch? There are no. Doesn't appear to be. Maybe there is, but there's a person. His name is Rabbi Edelman. He wrote a number of svarim on Diktok. And I've asked him about this concept. I had a long discussion about this concept, about my idea of tzion tzion. And I asked him if it's correct, is it not correct, and is there a pattern of the how the vowels. So he went through a lot of examples, and he basically said he doesn't know. But him saying he doesn't know, that's a big thing, because he knows quite a bit about, he wrote a number of svarim on TikTok. He knows quite a bit. So he said he doesn't really know if there is any set pattern in how, in this concept of taking a word, a shirish, and playing around with the vowels, and when you play with the vowels, you have the two opposite extremes. Okay, but this is the classic example of tishrosh tisharesh versus the word yishrosh, or yishrosh versus the word yishroishu versus yishroishu. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel Im Emas. Eov is now continues to describe his righteousness. Im Emas Mishpat Avdi Va'amosi. Did I ever despise the cause or the case of my servant and maidservant, Berivam Imodi, when they quarreled with me? In other words, Eve is saying, I had servants. In my home, I can do whatever I want. They don't have any rights. I have slaves. I have a slave, and Evet Kanani, a Shifra Kananis, whatever they were. He's Jewish, not Jewish, whatever it is. A slave has no rights. I have the power to do whatever I want. And they don't have the right to open up their mouth and say it's not fair. Yet, I was always very careful. In my home, the policy was fairness. If a slave felt something was not fair, he was treated harshly, he got punished for something he did not do, I listened to his complaints. And if he was right, I rewarded him. I compensated him. I did not take advantage of people that are vulnerable, even in my own home, where no one would find out, no one can do anything about. I was an honest person. In Emas, did I detest the Mishpat, Avdi, V'Amosi, Berivam, Imodi, when they quarreled with me? The average person would say, don't open your mouth. Be happy that you're still alive. I don't want to hear about any complaints. You have a complaint, I'll kill you. I'll torture you. I wasn't like that. I let my servants complain and demand justice. So therefore, I also have a right to demand justice in this world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Gimel Mitzudos. Im Emas. Ha'im Ma'asti Mishpat Avdi V'Amasi Be'ez Ha'ilachem Rif V'Dini Madi. When they had a complaint against me. V'chi Le'Kurafti Ma'amal Mishpat. I was a very nice person. I brought in an independent evaluation, right? You bring in an outside company to evaluate the situation. I didn't have to do that. No one, a consultant. I wasn't required to do this, but I did this out of the goodness of my heart. Fairness. Avki yadi moshla alin, even though I control, I rule. I'm the master. You can't ask questions. I was a nice guy. And look what has happened to me. Look how I have been rewarded. Look how I suffer. Alright, we're up to Pasuk Yudalit. We'll stop here.